Here's a little something you may remember from the good old days.
I feel so old.
You're old.
You're so old.
You're so old.
So old.
You're so old.
You're old.
You're old.
Headed to the land of Cleve. Time for Senior Moments. Brian Sexton along with senior writer John Osier. Joe Fortunato is bantering about somewhere in the studio in the vast confines of this enormous studio. Hello, Joe. Senior Moments. As we get set to head to Cleveland, the 0-9 Browns. And of course, you're hearing about a trap game. I'll be honest with you. I don't see how this could possibly be a trap game for a team that had to scrape to get out of their game against the Chargers. And all you have to do is turn on the tape to see the Browns haven't quit. Watch what they did against the Lions. They may not be very good, but they're not laying down.
Yeah, it's absolutely not a trap game because, A, I don't think the Jaguars have won enough to slip into that, oh, we're good mode.
Yeah.
And I do get a feeling that this team is still at a stage, meaning the Jaguars, where they're still sort of excited about seeing how good they can be, sort of thing. I think the defense goes into every game wanting shutout. They want to dominate. They want to be able to talk, that sort of thing. So I don't think they'll have a letdown per se, but I do think it's a very dangerous game, more dangerous. And that's not just coach speak. It's you're talking about a game where weather could be a factor.
It's going to be a factor.
Which is usually an equalizer.
35 degrees and winds north of 25 miles
right.
an hour.
So all of a sudden you start thinking, okay, lower scoring than normal. As you said, a team that hasn't given up. The Jaguars are and should be and have earned the favorites role. But if you get a situation like the Jets where a couple of quirky things go the other way early, that's how Cleveland stayed in it the other day against the Lions. And the Lions got back on top and eventually pulled away in that game because they have explosive things happening on offense. Well, the Jaguars don't really have that right now. So the Jaguars, for them to feel safe in this game, they need to get up early and they need to eliminate the quirky stuff that can keep unfavored teams in it.
See, this feels like a muscle-up game to me because mm-hmm. if the wind is really that strong, throwing the ball is going to be a major challenge. I mean, it'd be a major challenge if you lined up with Alshon Jeffrey and Dez Bryant. I mean, mm-hmm. it's not that easy to do.
And with this receiver core, it's a challenge if it's perfect.
Absolutely.
Because they're hurt.
Well, and the offensive line is hurt, too. I mean, Parnell's not expected to practice on Wednesday. Neither is Patrick Omame.
Alan Hearns is out.
Right.
Limited.
But you got to be able to run the football this week. It's never been more paramount. And, you know, the Browns don't do a lot well, but they do play well up front. Danny Shelton is a load. I'm not sure how much Jamie Collins' injury impacts their run defense, although he's a terrific player. Mm-hmm. He's gone for the year. The Jaguars' ability to run in these conditions will dictate their ability to score.
And they have struggled to run in the last couple of games when Fournette has been active because they've struggled to run against that all-out-in-the-box deal. One of my themes this week, Brian, is I think the Jaguars are going to need a big play per half out of Blake Bortles in the passing game the rest of the season. I think that's going to be their formula. You saw it the other day. You know, struggle to run. They had five passes in that game. One of them worked, meaning five deep passes.
Right.
They were close. A couple of them skimmed. They had Keelan Cole running open once, and they hit Keelan once. Blake's throwing that ball pretty well right now. I think he was more accurate in the deep ball than he has been.
He had two bad passes last week, let's be
right.
honest.
I think a formula for the Jaguars, which is a scary formula offensively, I think they're going to need to hit those big plays. Sometimes you hit them, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you eat the bear, sometimes the bear eats you.
We'll see what that does on Sunday in Cleveland. Again, the weather conditions are supposed to be horrific. By the way, I just got to throw this out there. I don't want to see guys standing next to the Jets. I don't want to see them trying to get warm.
Well, it's because you want to be there.
Oh, there's no doubt. I'm on the right. sideline now, folks. Right. You're up in the press box. So from my perspective, I need easy access to the
exactly
warmth.
Exactly right.
I'm a 49-year-old man. Those are young kids playing. You can stay warm. But it's something that a wise old man used to say is what you don't want are the players huddled around. The opponent looks and sees. Mm-hmm. You know, Cleveland plays in that stuff, and they see you over there huddled around, and they know. We get these guys to the fourth quarter. They're going to be looking at the clock, and they're going to be wondering how long until they get to leave. You got to put all that behind you and just focus on the game. Don't worry about getting the coat on. Don't worry about it. Shut it out of your mind.
Yeah, I'll bet you still see some of it, and they got to play through it.
Yeah, plain and simple, they have to play through it. So, Jags are 6-3, first place tie. The question is, how high can they climb in the playoff rankings in terms of, and I'm talking about power rankings, folks. That's just for fun. I'm talking about, can they work their way to one or two? Could they, if the schedule favors them, and I think it does, could they get to the number two seed and have a first round bye?
Well, I can't imagine that that's something that they're talking about
internally. No, I don't think so.
First of all, but
I'm interested.
I would think somewhere along the lines, right now, the way this defense is playing and the way the schedule lays out and the way they believe, they ought to be somewhere having that as a goal, because you've got seven games. Five of them are against teams with what appears to be deficiencies on offense. Well, that plays into what this team does. So you're going to be favored, I would guess, five times. Maybe not favored at Arizona because of the trip or whatever, but that's not a game that you can't win. And again, Colts, Texans, and I'm drawing a blank on the other one.
49ers.
And 49ers. Nobody assumes wins, but if you get those, you're where? You're at 11?
You get those five, you're at 11.
Right. Well,
that's probably not enough for a first-round bye.
It's not.
Unless one of those wins is over the Titans at the end of the year and you win the division.
It's not enough, but that's why can't they beat the Seahawks here? Why can't they beat the Titans here? I'd be surprised if they're not in their games, is my point.
Well, let's go through the list real quick. So I'm just going to look at it from the perspective of quarterbacks, which is your arena in particular. So you say, well, can you beat DeShone Kizer? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can you beat Drew Stanton or Blaine Gabbert?
Sure.
Can you beat Jacoby Brissett or Scott Tolzien?
Sure.
Can you beat Russell Wilson? I didn't say will you, I said can you.
That's the toughie, obviously, because he's so savvy.
But can they?
Can
with
they,
this
yes.
defense. Okay, all right, so that's still live.
He's the one guy on that list, though, so far, that can beat you if you have a better team than he does.
Okay.
Make sense?
C.J. Beathard?
He can't do that.
Okay. Marcus Mariota. Can you beat Marcus Mariota?
You can.
Okay.
He can also do what Wilson can do. I don't put him in that class yet, right. But he can beat you if his team's not as good.
But you get my point.
Sure.
When you look at the lineup there and you see what's left, you think, well, yeah, if they can play consistent football and keep winning, they can get into that conversation. Now, there were some
folks.
What
was your top question on this? How high should they think?
How high can they think?
Can I make a confession?
Yeah.
I looked at the Patriots' schedule this week.
Okay.
And I looked at the Steelers' schedule this
week. Okay. So you tell me based on those.
Well, the confession there is looked at.
Yeah, you're thinking about it.
It crossed my mind. Because you look at it, they're one game in back of those teams. They have a schedule that.
They have a win over the Steelers, by the way.
They have a win over the Steelers, which is big. So you start looking at it. The Raiders and the Patriots play this week.
In Mexico City.
The gut, when you first think about it, is, wow, the Patriots can put the Raiders out of this. But are you maybe pulling for the Raiders?
If you're a Jaguars fan, you absolutely are.
Well, the other school of thought is, if the Raiders lose a couple more, then they're out and you're probably in. I mean, that's sort of the thing.
You're talking about wild card there.
Well, because the Raiders are dangerous.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
And they could easily be the sixth wild card.
Yeah, but if you look at your schedule as a Jaguars fan and you're thinking about opportunities, you're trying to pull the top of the AFC closer to you, not push the bottom of it away as much.
Well, I guess I'm more conservative by nature. I always want the guarantee. I want to get in. So there'd be part of you that would like the Raiders at 4-6 and you at 7-3.
If you're thinking big, right? If you're thinking about two.
Yeah, but I think small.
Okay,
I'm thinking big.
And right. That's this question. I'm thinking big. If you're thinking big, you already have the division title, so you're not worried about the Raiders or the Bills.
The answer to the question is the next 2 weeks, obviously, are going to decide how legitimate this conversation is. But Browns winnable, Arizona winnable. You get to 8-3, which is what they would be. Then you're darn right you should be thinking about seeding.
See, and I know that there's some Jaguars fans that are listening to this thinking that we're a couple of drunken sailors all of a sudden. Whoa, six wins for the first time since 2010. But you can't think that way. You have to look at the schedule.
Not at 12:30, but maybe around 6:30.
You got to look at the schedule. I don't doubt you. You got to look at the schedule and see what's possible and see what's there. Again, let me ask you a question. Can the Jaguars beat Ben Roethlisberger?
Yes.
They did.
Right.
They did. Can the Jaguars beat Tom Brady?
Yes, they can because pass rush.
Yes, because they have a defense for it.
Right, because they can disrupt.
And you can beat the Patriots because their defense isn't very good.
Here's the big point of this segment. In the last 9 weeks, the hopes, focus, conversation around this team has changed dramatically. This is the outer edge of that change.
Absolutely. That's what we do here. We push on senior moments.
There's no reason that you shouldn't be in this conversation right now, considering you just got through what appears to be a brutally tough matchup in San Diego. Sunday's win over San Diego is the kind of game that gets you into this conversation.
You know, and wouldn't the folks in Cleveland...
Or Los Angeles, if you will.
Yeah. John, it isn't that easy, is it?
No, it's not.
It isn't that easy. The folks in Cleveland, the fans in Cleveland, would love to be having this kind of conversation. Let's be honest. I've said to you the last 2 years, just get us to Thanksgiving where we're talking about playoff scenarios and it becomes fun again, let alone the fact that the scenarios all seem to work in your favor. It's fun in Jacksonville. It's not fun in Cleveland.
Remember the offseason when all I talked about, this team has to get out of the abyss.
Yeah.
Well, they've stormed out of the abyss. All of a sudden, they're, you know, if they lose their next seven, you know, no. They're 6-10. You know, it's been a remarkable turnaround, and I know where you're going next. How did it happen? An unbelievable offseason has led to this, and I'll set up your question.
Well, the question is it the way that you build a team today?
Right. Anybody who's followed this league knows the Browns are trying to do it the same way the Jaguars tried to do it, which is tear it down to the studs, tear it down to the nub, and then build through the draft. And it's a very idealistic, you know, whiteboard approach. It looks fantastic on paper. We're going to build through the draft. We're going to have all these young guys mature. They're going to mature at the same time. And that was the plan here with some free agency to supplement it. Well, it's really been free agency built on defense. I mean, there's Jalen, there's Telvin, there's Miles Jack.
Dante Fowler Jr., Yannick Ngakoue.
So it's there.
Yeah, there's some
guys. More accurately would be described as an absolute perfect storm. I mean, all of a sudden you've got Calais Campbell, you've got Barry Church, who are these core leadership-type veterans. Well, most contending teams, those guys are 6 and 7 and 8 year guys who've been with you forever. Luke Kuechly, you know, is sort of a defining guy for Carolina's defense. He's been with them since 11. Well, Calais feels like that, doesn't he?
Oh, there's
it
no
feels
doubt.
Like Calais has been here since 1965. You know, I mean, he's the guy who's the voice, the face. Barry Church doesn't get quite as much pub, but among the secondary, he's that guy. When you walk over to Barry Church and talk to him, it's like he's been around here since the 90s. He's the voice of reason, the old man, the guy that other people come to. It's hard to get that through free agency. That's what the Browns lack right now. They are young. They make mistakes that give you the game. They do things the Jaguars have done the last 3 or 4 years. The Jaguars are out of that abyss, I think, because they have more guys who they can depend on like that. What you wonder if you're the Browns is, can they find that perfect storm that the Jaguars found this offseason? It takes a little luck. You know, I don't know that the Jaguars' plan of 2012 and 2013 and 14, more accurately, is going to be something the league can follow, because we've seen it this year that you have to have veteran experience to make it work. Right now, that's the Browns' deficiency. They don't have that.
Well, and I think it's worth pointing out. So when you dive into free agency, there's obviously hits and misses, right? I mean, the Jaguars missed wildly on Jared Odrick and Julius Thomas. Now, they structured the contracts wisely, Dave Caldwell did, so they could get out when they were ready to get out. Those guys aren't on the books. But they wanted Olivier Vernon last year. Mm-hmm. You remember that. And they didn't get him. If they get Olivier Vernon last year, do they have Calais Campbell this year?
And, you know, the funny thing, you know, many fans, many observers were just furious. Well, why did you pull out of Olivier Vernon? Why did you stop on that? Why did you pull out of the bidding? Well, they just got uncomfortable with it and it was just too much. Well, for last season, it hurt you. Now, no knock on Olivier Vernon, who's a good player.
Very good player.
But you're ecstatic that you had the room, that you're set up to have Calais Campbell, A.J. Boye, and Barry Church.
And let's not forget Marcell Dareus, who, by the way, you can afford because you didn't have Olivier Vernon.
Their additions on defense, especially when you throw Dareus in there, are right now he looks like a 27-year-old core player who might be here for 3 or 4 years. I don't know. I have no idea how it'll structure.
So you saw that Instagram from Daryl Jeremiah of him taking the center and throwing him on his butt.
I saw the play. I didn't necessarily see
it. I saw the play, too, but I can't stop watching that Instagram. He has like 20 seconds of him against the center, and he just tosses him aside wildly.
Yeah.
That guy, he played 18 plays last game. That's it, 12 the game before. But in 30 plays here, he's been an impact player.
But think about, you're talking about Darius, an all-pro level player. You're talking about Calais Campbell.
Perfect storm.
Who is playing like an all-pro level player so far this year. I don't know if he'll make that. It's tough. Get Pro Bowl guy. A.J. Boye may not make the Pro Bowl, but it ain't going to be embarrassing if he does. You know. And Barry Church, who probably a Pro Bowler, but as important, you just don't hit that. And it's been, you know, a view from the Ozone on Thursday is the seven guys who made the biggest impact. I make the point, it's just a remarkable thing to have Fournette, Robinson, Darius. These guys, it's a third of a new team, and they all hit. It never happens.
No, it really doesn't. And there's one other factor here that threads through this whole thing, and that is the Jaguars aren't paying a quarterback.
True.
So if you're paying $25 million like the Saints and the Packers and, you know, the teams with the elite-level quarterbacks, you can't go grab guys like Calais and Marcel and A.J. Boye. You just can't afford to do that. Now, the flip side is, as long as you have that quarterback, you never need to go completely to the studs.
Right.
So the Jaguars' philosophy fits a team that doesn't have a quarterback. A team that does have a quarterback, it doesn't.
Now, at some point, what you hope, be it Blake, who I get doesn't look like that right now, you hope to get one. You hope that it happens in the next year, 2, 3 years, that becomes an issue, and then you take the Seattle route, which is where you start off just like, I mean, this team right now looks just like Seattle did in 13 and 14. And now Seattle looks like it's turning into a quarterback-centric, we're going to pay Russell Wilson, build around him for the next 10 years. You eventually flow into that. That's okay, but it happens over time, and it sort of morphs that way. That's what you hope happens here.
All right. We'll find out. It's going to be cold on Sunday. Bring your gloves.
I'll be in the press box. With some cocoa.
I wonder if they'll let me up there.
Not if I can help.
That's senior moment. We'll be back with the Thanksgiving edition next week, folks. You don't want to miss it. John's going to wear a silly hat. Good night.